Well done to the amount teams. I'll tell you what, it takes guts to come to the front and lead as they led this morning.
Oh, it's the dreaded clock.
No, you've been recording, that's all.
Oh, right.
So, well done. Especially Gabe. For once, he was lost for words.
I don't need this, do I? Do I have any good news? Do I have any good news? I do. My daughter gave birth on Thursday. She has a beautiful little boy. Now, I know it's hard to believe, especially to you kids, but I'm a granddad. And I know I don't look it, but I'm a granddad. And Nana, over there, she's Nanny Sam. But God is good. And I also want to say, if anybody who has got young children, feel free to go to the youth, the teens room if they need to take their children out. But please, come back. So, God is amazing. Because what I want to speak about today is for everybody. Okay? It's for all you little ones. You bigger ones, Mount Teens. And all you grown-ups. Now, when I decided what I wanted to speak about, I thought, how do I work this? Because the Mount Teens can be so finicky. Sometimes they turn up, sometimes they don't. But when I found out that they were going to lead the service today, I thought, they've got to listen. So, my talk is aimed specifically at the Mount Teens. All right. So I'll try not to be boring for you little kids. But one thing I want to say to you young children. Never, never think that you are too young to pray, to speak to God, because God listens to you just in the same way that he listens to me. So if you feel you want to pray for a friend or your mum or your dad, you do it. Because God will listen to you. Mount Teens, two things I want to say to you. And it's built on the strength of what you've witnessed and heard and said to us this morning. Is Iona here? No. Well, I was going to get Iona to read it for me. But I want to read from Mark's Gospel. And I had the page, and it's gone. Jesus was asked a question. And I'm going to read this. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is one, and he is the only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbour as yourself. No other commandments are above these." So the reason I wanted to speak to the Mount Teens is because you are now, I know that there's a vast age difference between you, but you, in the next few years, will be embarking on your life. You are going to be bombarded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by the media, by the world. And they are going to do their utmost to persuade you to go this way or that way. They certainly won't direct you in the order of God. So my first thing to you, and to all of us, not just the teenagers, all of us children as well, take on board what Jesus said. Make the first commandment the first commandment in your life. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Put him first. As far as I'm concerned, it's the most important scripture in the whole of the Bible. Why did God say it if it wasn't? It's the most important scripture in the Bible. You cannot go wrong if you put God first. I remember many years ago, I had probably been a Christian for about 4 or 5 years. And I remember a conversation I had with somebody, as if it was yesterday. The funny thing is, I can't remember whether it was a man or a woman. But I had a conversation, and I said that I had to put God first in my life. And I remembered as clearly as yesterday the look of absolute disgust, even hatred, when she turned, or this person turned to me and said, "You would put God before your wife and your children." That's not a God that I would want to follow. And I was so taken aback. And I said, "Well, that's what the Bible tells me." And this person just turned and walked away. And I came away. And I thought, have I got it wrong? Maybe my wife and my children should come first. And I came back and I had a chat with one of the elders. And they said, "No, that is what you must do." And over the years, I've come to realize why. And I would expect that my wife would put God first, before me and before my kids. And she does. And the reason why we need to do that is because God has created you in his image. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than your mums and dads know you. And he has a plan for each and every life if you choose to follow him. And when you choose to put God first, even above your wife or your husband and your children, whatever he puts into you will flow out to them. And I love my wife and my kids and my grandkids more because I love God than I would do if I didn't. It's so important. And you might think, "Oh, I've heard this all before." but take it from someone who knows. And if you go away with anything today, go away with that thought. Is he right or is he wrong? I'd love to be proven wrong, but I don't think I would be. God must come first. Secondly, Jesus again. This isn't one of the prophets. It isn't Paul or Peter or the apostles or anybody. This is Jesus himself. He says in Matthew 7, verse 12, do to others what you would want others to do to you. That is so important. Do to others as you would want them to do to you. If you're being horrible to your sister or your brother or your mum or your dad, then don't be surprised when they return it and they're horrible to you. You want to be treated nice. Treat others nice. I don't believe that if you don't put God first, that you would want to treat your neighbour as yourself. When you love God first, and he pours out all of his compassion, and his love, and his mercy, and his grace. Remember what we did this morning, what Chris said this morning. Remember why Jesus did what he did for you. And Talita, when you said somebody prayed for you this morning and you felt all tingling, how did you feel? I bet you didn't want to go back to the tent and argue with Chris. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He changes you. He makes you into the person that he wants you to be. So my next point that I would stress to you, not just the Mountaineers, but everybody. One thing that you should desire, I believe, is to become a person of integrity. Now, children, I've been sat looking at this all night. And I've been licking, and even Sandra's looking now, licking her lips. I wonder, I'm going to give this whole bar to anyone of you kids that can tell me what I mean by integrity. No. You're not a kid. You're a Mountie. That's not, no. This is for kids' church. Sorry. Kids, any, and no whispering from adults. Go on.
Doing the right thing when nobody's watching.
Wow.
Wow. You've been watching C.S. Lewis. Well done. That is exactly. I'm impressed. That's exactly what I was going to say. Do to others. No, C.S. Lewis said, integrity is doing right when nobody else is watching. So to become a person of integrity is to become a person of good character. I went away a few weeks ago to Llandudno just to spend some time with the Lord. And I was sitting on the top of the Great Orm. Now I wonder if anyone can tell me, is the Great Orm a mountain or a hill?
A hill.
Because as you look at it, it doesn't really look like a fantastically high mountain. But climbing up it, I thought, this is a mountain. This is not a hill. But I'd love to know what you think. Is it a mountain or is it a hill? But I was sat there, and I'm looking at this fantastic panoramic view. And you can't help but sit and think, wow, God, you're amazing. And I sat there and I thought to myself, what would you want people to remember about you? So when I've left this mortal coil, what would I like people to say about me? And it's not anything to do with the back, with the hands. I don't want to be remembered for having big hands. But I probably will be. But think about it. Ask yourself a question now and again. What would I want people to remember me for? Now, I'm sure nobody wants to be remembered as, oh, he was a miserable so-and-so. Or she was as tight as anybody I've ever come across. Nobody wants to be remembered for things like that. So work on what you would like to be remembered for. Now, has anybody heard of... forgot his name. Billy Graham came to mind, and that's not the one. Oh, my goodness. Bobby Jones. That's it. Has anybody heard of Bobby Jones? Golfers? Joe, you should have. Bobby Jones was a famous golfer, American golfer back in the 1920s. Now, Bobby Jones was playing in the US Open in 1925. And during preparing to take a shot, his club inadvertently caught the top of his ball and caused the ball to move. Now, nobody saw this happen. Nobody knew what he'd done. Now, most of us, if we're honest, would have carried on. How many times have us snooker players gone to hit the ball and nudged it before you were ready to take your shot? Be all right, be all right. Bobby Jones knew what he'd done and decided to call a penalty stroke against him. Nobody knew, but he decided to do it, and he did it. He called a penalty shot against himself. He was all set for winning the championship, but he lost it by one penalty shot. One penalty stroke. And everybody came and was saying, wow, what a great man, thank you for doing what you did. And Bobby Jones said, you might as well be congratulating me on not robbing banks. There is only one way to play this game, and that's by the rules. Bobby Jones went on to lose the US Open of 1925, and he wasn't remembered for being in it. He was remembered because he lost it because of his integrity. What integrity that is. So think upon it. Think about it, mountains. Think about it, mums and dads. Think about it, children. What do you want to grow up and become? We all should aim to be people of good character. When I die, I want to be remembered as a man who loved God. And a man of integrity. And a man with big hands. So think about it. Ask yourself every so often, Lord, reveal to me through your Holy Spirit any areas of my life that I need to change. And that's his job. He won't let you down. Now and again, you'll get this little nudge. Don't like what you're doing there. And do something about it. And you know who the best judge of your changes are? Your family. Believe you me, your wife will tell you, I don't like the person you're becoming. Or vice versa. Question yourself. Am I where I want to be with God? But please, above all else, put God first. You cannot go wrong. So, Mounteens, I'd like you all to stand, if you will, please. As I said so. Right, so nobody's watching. Everybody close your eyes. We just want to pray for the Mounteens. Father God, I thank you so much for these young people. Most of them have been brought up in the church. They know about you. But Lord, just as we have been hearing this morning, in this past week, they've started to hear from you. And they've started to get to know you. And Father, I pray that as they go on in life, right from the early ages that they are now, 11 right the way up to 18 years old, I pray, Lord, you will send their guardian angels to watch over them, to hem them in, to protect them from the wiles of the enemy. He will try his utmost to draw them away from you. But Lord, we pray a protection over them. We pray for guidance over them. We pray for power to be within them to say no, but to say yes to you. We pray, Lord, that each and every individual that's standing now will reach their full potential in you. You have a plan for their life, Lord, a plan that will give them a hope and a future, which will cause them to live life to the full. We thank you for them, Lord. We bring them before you now, and we pray that you will bless them with everything that you have for them. May they continue to grow in you, and may they continue to become people with godly characters. And I pray that for everybody in this room, Lord. Pray for our children, that they will be bold in speaking about you. They will be bold in talking about you to their friends, to their families. And I pray you'll give them opportunities, Lord, to speak about you. And I pray a blessing on the rest of us, Lord, that we will continue to put you first and love you, Lord, with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. And then we can go into the community and love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Amen. Over to you, Chris. Jay. Forgot my spare chocolate.
I thought my job was over. But, well, obviously, you know, tea and coffee will be at the back, available in possibly sometime soon, I hope. And, well, service is over, and see you all next week. Thank you.
Thank you.